The Holy Gospel according to John, the 4th chapter. So Jesus came to a Samaritan city called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired out by his journey, was sitting by the well. It was about noon. A Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to the woman, "Give me a drink." His disciples had gone to the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink of me, a woman of Samaria?" Jews do not share things in common with Samaritans. Jesus answered the Samaritan woman, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to Jesus, "Sir, you have no bucket, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us the well, and with his sons and the flock drank from it?" Jesus said to the Samaritan woman, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again, but those who drink of the water that I will give them will never be thirsty. The water that I will give will become in them a spring of water, gushing up to eternal life." The woman said to Jesus, "Sir, give me this water, so that I may never be thirsty or have to keep coming here to draw water." Jesus said to her, "Go, call your husband and come back." The woman answered him, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You are right in saying I have no husband, for you have had 5 husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband. What you have said is true." The woman said to Jesus, "Sir, I see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you say that the place where people must worship is in Jerusalem." Jesus said to the Samaritan woman, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming, and is now here, when the true worshipers will worship with the Father in the Spirit and truth, for the Father seeks such as these to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to Jesus, "I know that Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will proclaim all things to us." Jesus said to her, "I am he, the one who is speaking to you." Just then, Christ's disciples came. They were astonished that he was speaking with a woman, but no one said, "What do you want? Or why are you speaking with her?" Then the woman left her water jar and went back to the city. She said to the people, "Come and see a man who told me everything I have ever done. He cannot be the Messiah, can he?" They left the city and were on their way to him. Meanwhile, the disciples were urging him, "Rabbi, eat something." But Jesus said to his disciples, "I have food to eat that you do not know about." So the disciples said to one another, "Surely no one has brought him something to eat." Jesus said to his disciples, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to complete his work. Do you not say 4 months more, then comes the harvest? But I tell you, look around you and see how the fields are ripe for harvesting. The reaper has already received wages and is gathering fruit for eternal life, so that sower and reaper may rejoice together. For here the saying holds true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you did not labor. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labor." Many Samaritans from that city believed in Jesus because of that woman's testimony. "He told me everything I have ever done." So when the Samaritans came to Jesus, they asked him to stay with them. And Jesus stayed there for 2 days. And many more believed because of Jesus' word. They said to the woman, "It is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard ourselves, and we know that this is truly the Savior of the world, the Gospel of our Lord." Praise to you, O Christ. Grace and peace be unto you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Maybe it's the sinful side of us. Maybe it's the competitive side of us. Maybe it has something to do with our upbringing, with our North American understanding that there's never enough time, never enough money, never enough resources. Whatever the reason, wherever it comes from, we are people who judge others. It's a fact of life. Also often a sinful part of life. We judge others. And often, we judge others to gauge ourselves. How do we stand up? How do we measure? How successful are we? How well-liked are we? How good are we? We often come to these conclusions by looking at the world around us and making judgment. See her? I'm a better mother. Her kids are always in trouble. They can't read as good as my son. See him? He makes more than me. He's smarter than me. His house is bigger than mine. See her? My car is newer. My grass is greener. The list could go on and on. Look at him. He's heavier. I'm skinnier. We often judge people in order that we can place ourselves in our society. We receive grades in school. What's the first thing you ask? You ask your friend, what'd you get? You decide if your grade is good. If everybody gets an A, my B doesn't look too good. If everybody gets a C, my B looks better. It's a relative world. Our success is often dependent on the success or failures of others. Who is promoted? Who vacations where? Who owns what? Who's doing what? What do people think of your neighbor, of your family members, of members of your church? It's a competition. It's a constant struggle to keep ourselves in relation to others. We look at our street. Who has the biggest house? Who has the smallest house? Who has the newest house? Why do we do that? Is it because we feel unhappy about our house? Is it because we want to judge on the block who's doing what, who makes what, who has what? It's hard to say. But it's a very common fact of our lives that we often judge others. Of course, we know better. But like many things, because we know the right doesn't mean we don't choose the wrong. But interestingly enough, we often find ourselves sitting in judgment of ourselves. Often we are our own worst critics. No matter what we attain, no matter what success others tell us that we may have reached, we often find ourselves thinking we could have done better. We could have tried harder. We should have done more. No matter how many friends we have, we probably lament that one friendship that slipped away, those one word we could take back. That also is a fact of our lives. Our gospel reading today speaks to this. In our gospel reading today, we meet the Samaritan woman of the well. And there is no fluke occurrences in the Bible. Our story starts off today with John telling us very precisely what time Christ arrives at the well at. Noon. The hottest part of the day. This is a desert after all. The sun is right in the high sky. There is no shade. The ground, the sand, the rocks have been heated up by constant hours of blazing sun. Heat is coming from above. Heat is radiating from the bottom. It is hot. And this is the setting for today's gospel story. And we're told that Christ is at the well alone. The disciples have gone to town to buy food for the day, and Christ is dead behind at the well. And he is sitting there at its curb, at its edge, alone. There's no one there. And for good reason there's no one there. The women, who are the traditional gatherers, the gatherers of water, the gatherers of food for their family, have already been to the well. Their first practice every day, get the children ready, and head to the well early in the morning, when it's the coolest, when the sun is not at its brightest. And plus, you need water for the day. How do you make breakfast for the family? How do you wash clothes? How do you prepare lunch? Water is an important part of life. So naturally, going to the well, taking the big jar, putting it on the head, is the first activity of the day. The women round up their children, and they head to the well. And guess what they do at the well when they get there? The kids run around and play, and the women gossip. It's a fact of life. There is no email, there is no Facebook, there is no telephone, there is no newspaper. The only way that information is transmitted, the only way that stories are told, is by word of mouth. And it's a busy life these families live. Between work, between caring for their family, between upkeep of the house and home, they don't have time for afternoon coffee or to sit around watching Dr. Phil. They hit the ground running in the morning. And so when they get to the well, that is their social time. They are gone now. They are long gone. It is noon and they have got their water. They are back at their homes doing the work that needs to be done. So who do we meet? A woman. Quite likely the woman that gets gossiped about by that early morning group. She seems to be a bit of a woman of ill repute. She's had at least 5 husbands. Whether they divorced her, whether they died in war, whether they died of natural causes, hard to say. But she's had 5, and now she lives with one out of wedlock. Of course this would be scandalous. Of course this would be grapevine news. Of course people would talk about this. This would be seen as very odd. She'd be seen as an outcast in this first century society. And this is the woman that Jesus meets. And as she arrives at the well, at the heat of the day, carrying her jar, carrying her water bucket, whatever you choose to call it, Christ greets her. Woman, he says, give me some water. Who are you? She responds. You're a Jew. I'm a Samaritan woman. We're not supposed to be talking. We have years of war and anger between us. Plus, you're a man and I'm a woman. You're a Jew, I'm a Samaritan. The two shouldn't meet. Christ says, if you knew who I was, you'd ask me for the living water. Then a huge conversation erupts. What is this living water? How are we going to worship God? Where do you worship your God? All this conversation. And eventually this woman comes to the conclusion that this Jesus, this person at the well who's asking for water, is a prophet. For he has told her the things of her life. And furthermore, she whispers that he might be the Messiah. To which Christ answers, I am he. She runs back to town and she spreads the word of Christ. And this is interesting to me because I don't think things happen in the Bible by fluke, by circumstance, by chance. God's telling us something in this story. This woman at the well is the longest discussion that Jesus has with anyone in the Bible. Peter, John, Luke, any of the 12 disciples never talked to Jesus this long in the Bible. Pilate, Herod, the great Roman leaders, never talked to Jesus this long in the Bible. The two Marys never talked to Jesus this long in the Bible. This is the longest discussion of Christ that we have recorded. That should tell us something about its importance. Furthermore, this is the first place in the whole Gospel of John that Christ is referred to as the Messiah. And not only referred to as the Messiah, Christ indeed confirms that he is the Messiah. This event with this Samaritan woman is an important one. But what do we take away from it? For me, it's a powerful message of good news. Here we have a woman, outcast, shunned by society, falls outside the accepted bounds of right and wrong, did not probably keep good company, has to go to the well at the heat of the day because she's embarrassed of seeing others, because they will ridicule her, because she will be the object of their scorn. Here we have this woman. And this is exactly the person that God comes to, that Jesus Christ comes to A, let the world know that He is the Messiah, and to B, tell us a whole lot of important stuff about how we should worship in the Spirit and with true hearts. That woman who is ostracized by her community, who is looked at with suspicion, goes back and she tells people, not her friends, she tells people about this Jesus fellow, about this person she thinks might be the Messiah, about this prophet at the well. She goes and she talks to people about it. She evangelizes the good news to them. Story of judgment. As I mentioned to begin today's sermon, we often judge ourselves. Can you imagine the judgment that she placed on herself? After the gossip, after the words, I'm sure she judged herself. She comes to Jesus timidly. She admits to no husband, but she admits to no boyfriend either. We judge ourselves. And we often let the way we judge ourselves dictate our future. We let our prior failures tell us about our future failures. I can't achieve that because, boy, did I ever fail at that. We're not gifted enough. We're not smart enough. We're not rich enough. We're not resourceful enough. And so we live lives under judgment. Not the judgment of others, but our own judgment. I can't do that. Somebody else can, but I can't. I'll fail. I won't succeed. The Samaritan woman at the well overcame that. She lived a new way of being. She didn't say, you know what, those people won't respect me. Those people won't listen to me. Those people are sick of me. Uh-uh. She said, I have something to tell the world. I'm going to tell the world about it. I don't really seem to care what they think. I've got a message to share. And she overcame all the baggage, all the muck that she had inside, and she went forward and she shared the good news of Jesus Christ. People heard her. People listened to her. People were curious. People went out to see Christ themselves. Christ stayed 2 more days. Many people came to the gift of faith because of what this woman was willing to do. She overcame her judgmental reality. She overcame the judgment of others, the way they looked at her, the way they treated her, and she overcame the way she judged herself. How she defined her own future. How she defined her own worth. How she defined her own importance. That's what happens in Christ. A lot of people think that living a Christian life means taking things away. That if I'm a Christian, I will no longer have sin. If I'm a Christian, I will no longer have pain. If I'm a Christian, I will no longer know heartbreak. If I'm a Christian, I will no longer know arguments or strife within my family or my community. I'll live a perfect life. I'll be happy. I'll be joy. That is not the Christian life. The Christian life is not about taking things away. The Christian life is about what God puts in you. The gift of the Holy Spirit, faith, love, reconciliation, and also a knowledge that God has something for you. That you're moving to a distant point in the future under God's love and God's care. That you can beat away, tear down, de-varnish the cloaks that the world puts on us. The world might say to us, you're this, you can do that, here's your future. But in Christ, we have a new future, a new reality. It can be scary because it makes us step out of ourselves. It makes us go new directions. It might take us into places that we've been before and it didn't work out so well. But we go there with Christ because we go there strengthened, we go there nourished, and we go there equipped with the Holy Spirit. God's not about taking things away from us. We're not torn down and rebuilt up into some perfect human being. We are not a church of perfect human beings. I am not a perfect human being. Being a child of God is about receiving gifts. Receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit. Receiving the gift of eternal life. Receiving the gift of the Spirit. And we've all been gifted uniquely. Musically. Administration, in terms of stewardship, in terms of preaching, in terms of ministry to others. Different gifts, same Spirit. And that's the good news for us. That God works through the things of the world, that God comes into our lives, and that God calls us out of ourselves to a new way of being. Amen.